Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker, earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben.
8150.
93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. And people, I love days like this. I love conversational days where news keeps breaking and we always have plenty on the daily docket. Steve Rubbage is on the line. Brian Hall's in the booth.
Vegas. But it's good. Listen, even in Vegas, even 3.5 hours behind you time-wise, I set my alarm for 6 o'clock, and I said, I'm going to make sure I'm up. I'm going to make sure I'm ready. I'm going to go down to the sports book, and I'm going to do the show.
Wait a minute. I'm highly disappointed that you're talking about waking up. You're supposed to be saying, I'm doing the show, and then I'm going to sleep.
I'm not that level of a Vegaser. Anybody that listens to the show knows me, knows there's a little, well, listen, here's the thing though. Even that plan went awry because I am in the hotel room, because I woke up at 6 o'clock. Plan was to do all that, get up, take a shower, go down to the sports book, which by the way, Kentucky, I'm all in. Like I'm Drew Deaner has gained a 1000% compadre in Steve Rummage.
So much so, you're willing to make trips to Indiana now.
Yes. I sat there. No, me and you are going to make trips to Indiana. I sat there last night with Charity, and we watched the end of the Nets Bucks game, right? And if anybody watched the game last night, it was a close game, right down to the line. We watched about the last 5 minutes, man. The place was packed. Okay, the sports book was packed. People standing up around. All the seats were filled. I mean, just packed. And you got these massive screens. And I've got the Reds on up there, you know, because all the games are on, everything. So we're standing there, and we're watching the end of this game. Marcus, I mean, I'm not telling you something you don't know, but every possession mattered.
People were dying and living on their bets.
People have the Nets plus minus, the Bucks plus minus, the over, the under. I mean, so look, shot comes down, shot goes up, misses, a certain section explodes.
Mm-hmm.
Shot goes down, shot gets hit, a certain section explodes. Like, you know, every possession there was somebody who had like you said, had something massive riding on it. So like that was just an incredible tournament feel. Like I felt like I was at the game. And actually, probably so. I mean, these people had more riding on it than Nets fans or Bucks fans. Like they listen, were like, I mean,
a friend of mine, who former point guard at Louisville, told me number 13. Listen,
you probably should have started his name and then, but yeah,
told me that he said, Maven, it'd be one of the best experiences of your life because I never done the sports book,
in
Vegas thing, you know, like. But he said it was one of the best experiences of his life.
I totally agree.
But he said it was. He did NCAA tournament though.
Oh, that's probably even better. I mean, I'm talking about just one playoff game going on, you know, up in the up on the thing, and the rest is pretty much baseball and hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the Vegas team out here was playing like they were Monday night, and then it was crazy.
Do you
around
think
here,
the TBT will be up on the board?
Oh, not now. You just lost your biggest market, probably. Yeah, so, you had a massive market that was going to watch.
Elaborate on that, Steve.
Well, Brian put in the Sports Center, you know, that the TBT team for Louisville will not be happening now due to lack of big name players or something. That was the most ridiculous excuse, because when you look around the other teams, you're like, or not lack of big name. I think it was more lack of players associated with Louisville. So they were saying kind of like, well, you know, y'all are the Louisville team, but you don't have enough. I'm like, what, two national champions wasn't good enough?
And a national champion assistant coach?
Yeah, like what wasn't good enough on the team? Like, I mean, look, you may not think. And then, like I said, they were going to add Preston Knowles last night and still had an outside shot at Kevin Ware and Jalen Johnson, which they were working on too. So it was like, what do you mean? Like, you know, it's ignorant. Like, so
do we have to raise enough money to pay players to get in there?
For
next year?
No, because there's not an amount of money you could raise. I mean, like, you can't get Peyton Siva. I mean, we can talk about it now. I mean, now that right. It's over. But it's Peyton Siva, you can't get. He has a contract. His agent's not going to let him play. Russ Smith's agent is like, no, you're not playing in that. Are you kidding me? Like, you know, like, you couldn't get those two. You can't get.
Steve,
Earl Clark got picked up by the Big Three. You can't get him.
I was doing the math, Steve, and I'm like, it's a pretty good problem to have that all your good players from the last 10 years are still playing professional basketball. You know, just all your big name guys are still, like, you know, really getting money.
Right. I mean, and, like, you know, like, they had Earl Clark committed to it. Then the Big Three called, and Earl Clark was in the Big Three pool. The Big Three is going to pay more than the TBT, or, you know, more like bigger. You're on CBS. It's a bigger thing, you know. So he goes to the Big Three. You know, I mean, like, you can't.
Yeah, Stephen Enoch is actually
Stephen Enoch. they had Steve Enoch and Dwayne Sutton that were going to play.
Mm-hmm.
Said they would play. Problem is, they got summer league deals. I mean, I don't want to spoil it, but I mean, they're getting summer league deals, and Steve is getting one that I think everybody's going to probably enjoy, and one that I think he's going to probably make.
Right.
So, like, and that should come out in the next few weeks at least. But I mean, Steve's got a good chance to make this team. So, you know, I'm sorry. Steve Enoch's not playing the TBT with you. Now, if Steve didn't get any of those invites, sure. I think he was like, yeah, I'll play if I don't get anything. You know, I mean, why not? Okay, cool. But they had a lot of potential there. But still, even with that, you were going to have Preston Knowles, Shane Bohannon, Wayne Blackshear, you know what I'm saying, playing. Like, I mean, you have Fresh Kimball, Chris Jones.
Are you looking forward to picking apart other rosters?
No, look, I'm going to be that. I'm not watching. I'm going to be that guy.
Steve, I went full boycott mode last night.
I know, yeah. I refuse to watch.
Until it comes on. It's like, yeah. This is one of them. Here's the problem, Steve. And I judge a lot on loser attitudes. And
sure.
But here's the thing. I do one of the worst things that people can do. I draw a line right behind myself to say,
oh, yeah.
Now, a little bit of hate is okay. I got my guys, but you just can't blanket hate on everybody. So my thing is, if I watch it, it's for blanket hatred on everybody that's playing the TV.
Well, you know, and this is all jokes aside. I mean, the truth is, I don't really watch the TBT, right? But I was going to. So it's like you lost probably the biggest market. Well, not probably. I mean, really one of the three biggest markets in college basketball. And guys like me, I mean, there's thousands of men and women like me that were like, I don't really watch the TBT. And I mean, and I'm saying that as Steve Rummage, who loves sports and stuff. I watched Ryan McMahon for a little bit last year, but I don't think I watched the full game. But like, but this team, I was going to watch. I was going to keep up with it. I was going to be involved.
And you don't have to avoid the fact that there is going to be – I'm getting a little feedback, Steve. Can you cut down your volume just a little bit?
Yep.
Just the fact that there was going to be a huge section of people to watch just to root against the Louisville TBT team.
Sure.
With the name three-time champs.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you had a ton of people. I mean, you don't think Kentucky fans around here wasn't going to watch to see if they what if they go out and suck? I mean, you know, it's the rivalry. Like, okay, you know, they're going to, you know. I mean, and I would too. I don't blame them. You know, like if the Louisville team went out and got beat their first few games, fuck that. Like, you know, like you're going to, okay, cool. Like, that's worthy.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
But here's the thing, Steve.
Okay.
You know what's coming, right?
I'm listening.
You know, Steve, you know me long enough to know there is a little voice, a little demon inside of me. And he only pops up during the most disappointing moments, just like this TBT thing. The little demon, he's so small and so tiny and cute. And then he just comes. This little demon is like, you know, the little baby in Incredibles when he's just so nice. And then all of a sudden he turns into just a little fireball pepper pot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That little demon just comes out of me every once in a while. And I got to say something to you, Steve.
Okay, I'm listening.
And I hate confessing. I hate bearing my soul to the world in moments like this. Maybe I'm just having loser confessionals today.
Okay.
I'm kind of glad. Steve, I didn't want the pressure of losing.
I know. Because listen, because when you tag that Louisville name on there, look, you can't blame.
Yes.
Because I could already see myself blaming the guys that didn't play for Louisville.
Mm.
I was like, I was already like, well, look, the Klein kid's not as good.
I was going to blame them, and I was going to blame the guys who didn't play on the team. Now, all of a sudden, Steven and Dwayne have taken listen. Yeah, y'all were probably going to lose in the second round in the tournament anyway.
I know.
Listen, go ahead.
Well, and it just popped in my head, but Nanu was another one that they was going to play. And then, you know, his team went on to win the I can't remember what the name of the thing is, but it was like one of the biggest leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, won the championship.
I was going to say when Shananu got on there, I was going to say, yeah, you probably should have stayed another year at Louisville. Look, you would have developed a little more.
Yeah, I know. Just start picking the game apart.
Yeah, I would have got mad at Coach Mack. You didn't have Quan Four ready to play for the TBT.
Well, here's the thing. I know. Yeah, I forgot Quan Four was on there too. So Samardo. Okay, let's just say this though. First thing is, you know, Keith and Luke and all those guys. Like I said, we got a message from Keith last night, and he was legitimately hurt. Like there was a lot of people involved in this. That's why I got a little upset just myself personally, just when things are kind of like mocked about it. It was like, dude, people, okay, like it's funny if you want to keep it kind of Louisville related, but like people are really working really hard on this, like really hard. And I mean, it's a stressful thing.
And working hard to give this area something, working hard give this area some basketball, a sporting event.
Sure. I mean, people were getting excited about it, you know? I mean, and you can say ha-ha and no, and I don't think as many people would have, but I mean, okay, there was still a portion of people that were getting excited, and the way you do that is you got to have one. You got to have the first one, and then people get involved. And But now, constructive criticism, not constructive criticism, I guess, but
critique,
I do think that Keith and those guys kind of not learned, I don't want to say that, but I think that they know this is probably something now we're going to have to start a year ahead of time.
Yes. No, no.
You know what I'm saying?
Listen, your fundraising has to start early. Yeah. Your sponsorships has to start early. All this stuff, your recruitment has to start early. But no, he said it perfect. He said, I learned a lot through this process. Think about it. They were just still doing this raw. I mean, they knew a couple of things. They heard a couple of things. They knew a couple of people to get in contact with to fill out the paperwork. But the like the on the ground grassroots, what do we have to do to make this happen? What are people's needs, wants? What are people's, you know, requirements? Like, how do we, you know, like they had to learn it all on the fly. It's not like there's a YouTube channel, how to put together a TBT team. They couldn't do anything like that. So, yeah, they had to figure out every single day, Steve. They had to figure out something new about, like I said, phone numbers to contact, you know. And again, Keith is a younger guy, you know, like mm-hmm. he had to persuade older guys who don't really even know him, you know, to participate in this. So, yeah, there was a lot of work to do.
And that's what I think, you know, and look, I mean, I think me and you would be more than willing to get involved, you know, with it. We've had that conversation with them the next time and different things. And I think the thing that what you just said there is you almost, and I don't like to name drop, but I'm going to, but I hate to put people's names on things because they have literally nothing to do with it. And he might be listening. And he's probably like, what? I don't have anything to do with this. But you get a guy like Junior Bridgman, you know what I'm saying? You get a guy like somebody with the stature, you know what I'm saying? And Mr. Bridgman has plenty on his plate. right. But you get what I'm saying? Like to say, okay, now I've got somebody behind me, like that is helping funding, that is also a fixture, you know, Judge Webb, those guys, like people who have a influence in the area that's like, hey, and I'm alumni, and you know, Dwan Wheat and those guys who should be honored in the stands, but not retired, but honored,
right?
And it's no, I'm kidding. I think they should retire. I've actually changed my stance now since. Yeah, I think he deserves a statue that it levitates above the court. but you get what I'm saying? Like,
what's the thing, Steve? The not 3D thing. What is it? The three-dimensional, like the concept.
Hologram.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dwan needs a hologram at center court. You have to run through him.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, he plays. Yeah, his greatest moments are played out in the middle of the. Yeah, look, that's what I'm doing
now. That
would
be pretty awesome.
You ain't going to get my butt kicked in those picnics that I walk up on. So, I mean, but you know, like somebody like him who has a ton of influence and whose word matters, you know.
No, you're right.
I think there's a team. I mean, all jokes aside, I mean, I'm not blowing smoke right now, but I mean, you know, I think guys like that who have played and they have investment and have a voice, and I think things like that, almost creating a board, like there is more. And I'm not, and I don't mean that this is my opinion because I don't think Keith and Luke and them went at it like this, but how I kind of saw it and I've learned, like, oh, this is more than that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was like, yeah, let's put a team together and go get in the league. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, that's what I thought
was. Kind of softballish.
Sure. I hated to say, but I was going to say like men's league-ish,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I didn't want to kind of put that on there, but you know, but
no,
I mean,
that's
it's
what
like,
we all know, thought though, you know, so yeah. And that's why it was such a shock. They're like, what do you mean the selection? Like, what, you know, what are you talking about? Like, you sign up, you pay, you know, you give your fee.
That's what I actually, Jeremy texted me last night, our buddy Jeremy texted me and said something about it. And I actually asked him, I was like, honestly, not being snarky, how do you not make it? Like, that was my question back, was like, I'm not saying like, how do you not make it? I really don't know. I didn't know you could not make it. I thought you signed up for it. You were in. So, regardless, though, I think there's a lot to learn there. I do think the team made a little bit of a mistake, though. I think they lost a big market of fans that would have gotten involved in that. And, hey, if Louisville's team goes in there and it's good, it puts a little pressure on Kentucky to put a team in there. And now you've got a Kentucky team and a Louisville team. And now you've got an Indiana team. Like, those are the three teams you want.
I can't wait to hate on the other teams.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait.
Look, they're old. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just perfect.
Yeah, I can't wait. I literally cannot wait for that. Okay, I'll tell you what. We're going to get, I think, Nate Huber in here for a couple of seconds after this commercial break. So let's do that. You're good to hang around, right, Steve?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm here.
Okay, quick commercial break. Middays with Marcus Maben on 939 The Ville.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 plus up to $425 in weekly bonuses depending on shift. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
CarMax is hiring experienced auto technicians for many of its 200-plus stores nationwide. If you're looking for a job where you can make a great living while working on the cars that you love, then CarMax is the place for you. Join CarMax to grow your technical expertise and work with state-of-the-art tools and technology. Work with the cars you love. Join CarMax. Apply today at CarMaxAutoTech.com.
Exmark makes the mowers that care for the lawns that set the stage for the backyard life. As the commercial mowers more landscape pros trust, Exmark mowers get you on and off the lawn without compromising cut quality, comfort, or reliability. Exmark, official mowers of the backyard life, starting at $29.99. Learn about the available finance offers and check them out today at The Mower Shop, 7400 Preston Highway, Louisville, Kentucky, 502-969-6433.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. Normally, all operations would cease when the man who was in the building joining me would be joining me. But today, at this very moment, he has moved down to third place on the list. Now, I'm sure you're wondering, who could move the top dog down three places on the level of importance? Important statement number one. Happy birthday, Daryl Griffin.
Yeah, wow.
Number two. Happy birthday, Michael Bush.
Oh, my goodness. Hey,
number three. Welcome, Nate Huber, to the ESPN Lewis Marketer Extraordinaire.
Welcome, Nate.
Nate Huber.
How do I follow that up? Michael Bush and Daryl Griffin's birthday.
You got this big of a clap. Like us, you just got to do your best. You just got to fight through it. So
two legends.
Absolutely. Okay, so Nate, you
and
are
Michael Bush.
Well, I'm in the studio with the legend.
fair enough.
No, he was talking about you, Nate.
No, I'm talking about Maven. I'm in there with Maven. He's a legend.
Listen, joining us today, we do this usually once a year. Yep. You make this call to action. And please, before you make your call to action, allow me to jump in front of any bullet you might take. Please, the comments, the text line is going to be 100% about integrity today, people, because that is the word for today, integrity. Nate Huber joining us to discuss.
Officials. Okay, thanks, Marcus and Steve. Appreciate y'all letting me coming on here. We do this once a year. A lot of people know or that listen to the station might know I'm a Division I baseball umpire, and then I'm also a high school football official. So anytime anyone's got a question about a rule or something crazy happening and everybody comes to me to talk about it, it's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. But basically what I'm here to talk about is we actually need football officials in the youth leagues, in the Catholic leagues, in the public leagues, and actually at the high school level as well. You can work your way up pretty quick to get to the high school levels, but you got to start at the lower levels, the younger kids, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh and eighth grade kids. So if there's anyone out there listening to this wonderful midday show, if there's any interest whatsoever, if you've ever thought, you know, it might be kind of fun to officiate a football game, or I want to see what that's about, tonight there is an informational meeting only put on by the KFOA, which is the Kentucky Football Officials Association, tonight at Wagner High School, which is over in St. Matthews, just off Breckenridge Lane, Hubbard's Lane, 330 South Hubbard's Lane, at 7 o'clock. Mm. So if you've ever had any inkling whatsoever of maybe doing officiating football, you can come to this meeting tonight, and we'll answer any questions. We're going to go through the whole process of how you become an official, the training process, because you don't have to have any experience whatsoever as an official. We're going to train you how to do it, and we'll go through that entire process. This is just informational only. This is not a timeshare. You know, we're not going to draw blood. Yep. We're not going to ask for your social. If you come to the meeting and you spend half an hour there and you say, hey, this isn't for me, move on. Thanks for coming. We appreciate you, at least listening to us. But if it interests you, then we'll stick around and we'll, teach you how to become an official so you can make some money. A lot of people say, hey, you get extra money. There's no such thing as extra money.
Right. It's money.
Money's money. So you can make money on a side hustle and, you know, learn how to officiate football, get on the field, get moving.
Get moving, coming
get
out
moving,
of
listen, coming out of COVID.
We don't have to avoid this. Yeah. Everyone could use an extra bit of activity coming out of COVID. Well,
right.
let me do this. Let me be anxious guy. Let me be guy who likes the idea but is nervous about
some trepidation.
Certain things. Yes, okay. I'm worried about being judged on my conditioning level just right off the bat.
Well, that's not going to be a problem. I mean, we understand that there are people that might be, you know, not in shape, but we're going to help you get in shape. We're going to have, you know, not necessarily we're not going to do like a fitness program, but we're going to give you the tools that you need to, you know, maybe get yourself in shape, show you how to move on the field that maybe if you're not in the best shape, you know, there's some tricks of the trade to, you know, help with your mobility. So we'll do that as well. We're going to show you how to align, how to, you know, angles, proper drills, things like that. I mean, again, you don't have to have any experience whatsoever. So if there's any trepidation, I understand that. And, you know, Drew asked me there, you know, said, hey, they basically said, why do you need officials? And I think some people, you know, there's videos of officials getting accosted or officials getting yelled at. That happens so infrequently. You know, the news covers it, but that's not going to happen.
And when it does, it gets shared 100% of the time.
That stuff doesn't happen. For the most part, parents are great. Coaches are great. For, you know, at the level that you're going to start out as an official, you know, the young kids, it's more even teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching the kids how to play football, teaching the kids how to block properly. If you see a kid holding in the little kids, we might say, hey, 55, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. And then next time I'm going to throw a flag on you. So it's a lot about even educating kids.
Right.
Because if they're starting at third and fourth and fifth and sixth grade, they don't understand the game yet. So we're trying to help them, you know, learn the rules, learn how to block properly, things like that.
Listening to you speak about it, it seems like it would be almost a better thing for guys wanting to get into coaching to maybe
learn the rules. That's another thing. I've been doing Division I baseball for 20 years. I've been doing high school football for 12. The one thing I noticed when I became an official is fans and coaches, they don't know the rules.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some coaches do, but for the most part, but that's our job is to explain rules. And so when you get yelled at, I actually laugh inside when someone yells at me, like a fan might scream something, and I'm like, that's not the rule. They don't know the rule.
Right.
You know, so it ends up being funny where, you know, you can laugh it off because they just don't know what they're talking about.
Okay, a meeting, Wagner, give that one more time.
Wagner High School tonight, 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't make it tonight, there's another one on Monday the 21st. I think Monday's the 21st. Same time, 7 o'clock, Wagner High School. If you can't make either meeting, you're like, hey, I really am interested in this, but I can't make either meeting, you can just go to KFOA.info, and then that will have any information that you need, or you can dial 419-8814, which I know phone numbers are tough to remember, but so it's fun.
And back to the anxiety guy for a second. I just wanted to make sure you gave people that information one more time.
Yeah.
I am also, if I'm a guy, you know, wanting to get an officiating, I'm also kind of worried about my time commitment. Should I plan a certain amount of blocked out time in the evenings or Saturday, you know, weekends? Yeah. Like, give me that.
That's a great question. So the way it works now is there would be weekly training, you know, every Wednesday night till the season starts. Then once the season starts, we might meet every 10 days or every 2 weeks. There won't be as much, but it will be a little bit of a time commitment on Wednesday nights for a couple hours to the initial like classroom sessions before we put you on a field.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing about officiating now is all the scheduling is online.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a day you can't officiate, you just block that. You just block it off. Like I can't officiate that day. I block it off. They're not going to schedule you. Or we call them, you know, if you want to go beast mode and you can officiate every single day, you can leave your schedule wide open and we'll use you. You know, so, you know, just to give people an example, you know, those youth leagues pay, you know, sometimes 40, 50 bucks a game cash. You work 3 or 4 games, it's 4 hours worth of work. You walk out of there with, you know, 150, 160 bucks in cash.
Yep.
You know, so if you go beast mode and want to work, someone can make $2,500 doing football in the fall, you know. And again, it's the best seat in the house, and you get out on the field and you move, you make friends, there's camaraderie. You know, that's why I love it. I love the camaraderie.
With other officials. And
with other officials. And I love Friday nights. You know, I love getting out there on Friday nights and the band and the smell of the grass and the speed of the game and the big plays and the crowd. It just is, to me, there's no better feeling than walking on
and
the field
being
on a Friday.
Right.
And being right in all of it. Right in the thick of it.
Yeah, okay. I got to ask this question because you made me think about, you know, if I was an official, would I like when it's hot, evening, early evening, officials still wearing
short sleeves. Short sleeves and shorts,
you know, are just kind of in that mode.
Yeah.
Or that last crisp transition, you know, when it's warm.
I love it all. That's the thing. Is it?
Yeah, really?
Yeah, that's a great question. But it, when it's hot, you know, it's much easier to go out and officiate when it's warm.
Uh-huh.
It does get a little hot, but, I mean, it's going to help you, you know, might help you get in better shape. But then when you work the playoffs, you know,
it's freezing
cold. But once the game starts and you get running and you get moving around, you really don't even notice.
Does your coldest officiated game stick out in your head?
Yeah, it does. It was in Northern Kentucky. I think it was like the fourth round of the playoffs, and it wasn't necessarily the temperature, but it was the conditions, because it was like 38 and raining. So it was pretty brutal. I mean, it was still fun, but you know, I can stand the cold.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 32 degrees and not raining, that's fine.
Right.
If it's warm and raining, that's okay.
That's okay.
But when you get like 37 degrees, 38 degrees, and it's raining, whoo, that's not even fun to play in.
Right. I was going to ask you, what's the product on the field during cold, rainy, like?
Slower. It's slower. It's amazing how much slower they move.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
It turns into the 1940s. Right. You know, two-handed.
Yeah.
Forward
just
pass.
Hand the ball off, and you know, got 7-6 final. You know, but
are slugfest games easier to refer? Like, do you find yourself kind of in the flow of the game, tucking your whistle when it's just like smash?
Just
mouth.
Let them play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of letting them play as an official. I always say I don't penalize the fender benders. I penalize the train wrecks.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a good, clean game, it's two good teams just going back and forth. Yeah, I like to let them play. The one thing I've learned as an official is they're not there to watch you.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to watch the kids play. And unless, you know, one guy gets a complete advantage over another person because of a penalty.
Yep.
But for the most part, you know, just like even like a wide receiver and a defensive back, they're hand-checking each other and they're going back and forth. If one of them doesn't really get a distinct advantage, I'm not calling.
But you do talk to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You talk to the players almost the whole time. It is actually easier and more fun to officiate a close, well-fought-out, like you said, slugfest, mm-hmm. than a blowout.
Right.
Because if it's 48-0 and it's a running clock,
right,
and that can get a little difficult to keep your, you know, keep your focus. We still do.
Yep.
But it can be a little. I would rather take, you know, two lesser teams, name wise. And it's a competitive game,
yep.
over a big name school playing a small time school and it being a blowout. Give me the two lower, you know, skilled teams, but it's at least a competitive game. That's what I like.
Has there ever been a game that you just had to call because it's like dangerous because of the blowout level, like the talent level?
That's
bad.
Not up to us.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be up to the game administrators, but they have the running clock. So I did have one game that was. The worst it was 34-0 in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they do the running clock. They start it right as it when it gets to be the 36-point spread.
Uh-huh.
So actually, I think it was 36-0 because we started the running clock in the first quarter. And so then it's just, let's get this over with because this is obviously not a competitive game.
Do the coaches object on the losing end to?
No. Most of the time they don't. And sometimes they'll even come and say, hey, you can actually reduce, you know, the quarters from 12 to 10, mm-hmm. or something like that. And we've had coaches say, hey, this is – can we lower the quarters?
Okay, let me ask you just one last question before I get you out of here. Baseball versus
– football?
Football.
Which one's tougher?
Yes.
That's a great question. Baseball has more rules. So the rule book's a lot bigger. Got crazier plays that kind of happen in baseball.
Is your count hard?
No, keeping the count's not too bad. Baseball is a little more difficult to concentrate the entire game because, you know, if you got a pitcher that might balk or whatever, like you have to keep your eyes forward in baseball all the time because there's no telling what might happen. But it's also a slower paced game.
Mm-hmm.
Football is so fast paced, the games go by so quick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even with the running clock, they go by so quick. They're both fun to officiate, both totally different.
Mm.
I've had friends, I'm still, you know, been in the officials community for a long time. Actually, what I've heard, basketball is the toughest.
Mm.
Basketball is the toughest to officiate. To me, football is pretty easy. Not easy, but I enjoy football. It goes by fast.
And you have a history of you.
Yeah,
you
I love football.
You're a football guy, yeah.
Yeah, baseball, I'm not even really a baseball guy. I was good at umpiring, so they paid me, so I did it.
You were forced into this life. Yeah,
I like it. And I do my job, and I work hard. But, you know, it's a good question. They're both totally different to officiate because Football, you know, if they want to argue with you, they argue with you for 5 seconds. But then the next play's about to happen. Like, so they're going to scream at you for 5 seconds, but then the next play's getting ready to go off, so they forget about it and they go talk to their coaches. And well, baseball is the only sport where you can literally stop a game and come out on the field and argue.
Right.
And so that makes it a little different. So they're both totally different. I enjoy doing both of them. Then that's why I'm kind of passionate about the need for officials, that it is a lot of fun. I wouldn't have been doing baseball for 21 years and football for 12 if I didn't enjoy it.
Okay, give me your one superstar rising story that you brought this guy to the first meeting and you saw him move up the ladder. Give me that one guy everybody can shoot for,
who get
an inspiring story.
Yeah, we've got guys that started coming to one of these meetings and now they're in the SEC. They started in the KFOA doing little kids. We've got probably two or three in the SEC. I know two for sure. One or two in the Sun Belt. Two in the Sun Belt for sure. There's a couple in the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
There's guys that actually, they were not one recently, but they were the McGrath brothers that started out as KFOA, and they were NFL officials.
Mm.
One was a replay official
and
for a long time.
Started out here.
Started out right here doing little kid football. And, you know, my friend of mine that I started doing football with that's in the SEC now, I mean, I won't tell you what he gets paid on the weekends, but it has a comma in it. I mean, the checks, I mean, you go work at LSU on a Saturday night, you're going to get paid for going there. And that he worked his way up, you know, that quick. So there's guys who have started at this level and are now in the SEC, ACC, Sun Belt, you know, some big time conferences where you're talking about making some money. They're making some money working those games.
So we have officially answered the question that I know every single one of you has said in the middle of a game, where did they get these officials from?
KFOA.
I guess you might want to rephrase. It didn't come from KFOA, but when you're having a good time,
this is
where they came from.
I see what you're
saying. So one more time, Wagner High School
7 o'clock, and then if you can't make it tonight, Monday night, the 21st, or you can go to KFOA.info. And
KFOA.info.
Yeah. So again, I appreciate you letting me come on and talk about it. And there's definitely a need for it. You know, the kids need it. You know, they need. You don't want to have to cancel a game because there's not enough officials. You know, so that's happening. That's starting to happen places because you know the kids need it. They need you, like you said. They need to get out. They need the competition, and we need to be there to help them. He said, I always tell people, I don't necessarily agree with all the rules. I'm only there to enforce them.
Yep.
And I'm just trying to help these kids and help them get better and help them learn the game. And so when I'm officiating the younger levels, that's what I do, is try to help the kids more than, you know, once they get to the 7th and 8th grade, then it's like, all right, man, I'm going to officiate this game.
Yep.
But 3rd and 4th and 5th and 6th, we're trying to help these kids and educate the coaches and educate the players on how to actually play the game.
No, that's actually the best. The interaction is probably the best imagery you gave, as far as if you do love it, if you have a sports passion.
Yeah.
This is really something. Like, even just listen to, look at the excitement, see it for yourself in one of these meetings and see see some guys who actually, you know, want like a shared common interest in officiating.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and helping the kids and football. I'm just passionate about football. I'm a football guy, so I love it. So.
Okay,
I have a question.
Yeah, man.
Could you answer me why officials in every sport hate the University of Louisville?
Yeah.
Go. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, actually, listening to Nate makes me feel bad about some of the things I say during games, man.
No, I tell you what, I've told this to Blankenbaker because he'll say things like, oh, Louisville's still pledging in football in the ACC, or the ACC doesn't want U of L to win. I will tell you this. I umpire in the ACC. I umpire in the SEC. Never have I gotten a directive from the school or the conference to say, let this team win or don't let this team win. I promise that does not happen.
No last-minute Vegas calls. You better call a strike.
Never. You know, when we're in a locker room before a game in a football, and I know the football officials get it too, there's no visitors allowed in there. There's no one allowed to come in and talk to
us.
The TV people will come talk to us to say, hey, you know, we're doing this, we're doing that. The TV people always come in to check on us, and we have a clubby who takes care of our laundry and stuff like that. But other than that, the sign clearly says, no visitors. So we don't have any. I've never gotten a directive from a conference to say, let this team win, let this team lose. Blankenbaker, I'm sorry, it doesn't happen. We just officiate the games.
There you have it.
That's a funny question.
There is no envelopes. There is no Morse code tap.
No.
There is no little iPod earbud placed behind his ear in the middle of.
I tell you, I mean, officials, and the bottom line is, if we miss a call, I promise you, I feel worse than you do. I have lost sleep over a call that I've made, knowing I missed it. I've lost sleep over it that night. So if we miss a call, we want to get the call right. And I think all sports are doing a better job of getting the call right with replay, even at the youth levels, getting the officials together to say, hey, what did you see? Let's get this call right. Because it used to be you died with your call. You know, even if I missed it and I knew I missed it, doesn't matter. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you say. We're going with it. That's going away. Now it's let's get this call right, and we want to get the call right. So
over under 2 years when officials are going to have to start doing media.
You know, I get this question a lot. I really don't see, and this is coming from an official, I don't see an advantage to officials having to explain judgment calls to the media. You know, because what are you going to say? I missed it. Everyone on camera saw that I missed it. I know I missed it. So that doesn't do me any good to get up in a press conference and be like, well, I missed
it. And it doesn't do me any good for you to admit that you missed it.
And, you know, a lot of people want to hear officials say that they missed it. And I've had coaches that I have good relationships with, like, hey, man, I missed it.
Yep.
And they'd rather hear you say that
on the low.
On the down low that, hey, I missed that call. I do think, as an official, I wouldn't have a problem with press conference explaining rules. So if a rule, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, hey, let's talk to the officials about the actual rule and please clarify the rule. I don't have an issue with that, and I think that probably will
a little more of that. Yeah,
but a judgment call. I mean, you know, in an NFL game, there's 26 cameras. Yeah. Everyone knows I missed it. So you just want me to get up on the press conference and say I missed it? But what good does that do?
Yeah,
but it is okay to get up there and say, hey, here's the rule and here's why we applied it at this. You know, I don't think there's any issues with that, and I think it's, you know, that probably will happen here soon.
I 100% did not agree with you until today. Listen, man, I've lost way too many games where I wanted answers, you know.
Right.
And listening to you talk about it doesn't help me.
Right.
I just realized it wouldn't help me to listen to you say I missed
it. You know I missed it. And I know I missed it.
But I want you to tell me you missed it.
Right.
Like, I don't know. There has been some games I think I would just feel better.
Yeah.
Just to see that guy cry and say, I'm so sorry I missed the call. I know. Yeah, no, a fair catch is a fair catch, jackass. Everybody knows that, okay? Let's get out of UConn and go home.
Okay, Nate, yeah. I do appreciate you jumping in here.
I appreciate you coming on here. Let me come on and talk about it. And if you, I mean, it's always good conversation to talk about this kind of stuff.
I know. I'm a sports fan. One more time, Wagner, 7 o'clock tonight.
Wagner, 7 o'clock tonight.
Take advantage. They can contact you. There's a thousand companies and businesses that want to reach out to ESPN Louisville and for sponsorship opportunities. Where can they reach you?
You can reach me at NathanH@ESPNLouisville.com. I'm the general sales manager here. So if you want to grow your business, advertise with us, and we'll get you help grow your business. NathanH@ESPNLouisville.com.
And help grow our show in the process.
Absolutely. So
help us out. Help us out.
As always, rolling along, ESPN Louisville / 93.9 The Ville.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.